Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
The comics we'll be talking about in this episode are in the April 2009 previews. And once again, they've managed to keep the page count right around 425 pages, if you don't count the flip section in the back of previews, which I don't know that anyone really bothers to read, so I'm not quite sure why they have it.
That's true. Even I didn't bother to read it, and I read almost everything, so.
Well, I don't bother to read it, and some of it's the top-selling stuff. But, I mean, they're still covering February, which actually is not as out of date as I was thinking it might be. But, anyways. As always, we're starting in the front of previews, working our way back. We're going to talk about things that caught our eyes and play clips from the listeners for things that they found of interest. I am still under budget constraints. This month I am keeping my order to right around $100. As it stands right now, it's $100.27. Hopefully I'll be able to find a job soon and expand it back to where I would like it to be. So some of the stuff I'm going to talk about, I'm not actually going to be getting, but, you know, I do recommend, because there's a lot of great stuff in here. Certainly more than $100 worth, even after a DCBS discount. Starting us off in Dark Horse is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic number 42 on page 49. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. And it is a special one-shot storyline featuring a couple of the characters out of the Knights of the Old Republic video game. I was reading this series up until around issue, I think, 35, and it does a really great job capturing the spirit and the feel of the Star Wars movies and universe. And I've never played the video game, and that didn't impact me at all. I found it the comic very accessible and very enjoyable. I think John Jackson Miller is doing a great job here, and I really recommend this title. Now, next up, that's really actually the only thing we've got from Dark Horse this month, in terms of picks. There's plenty of other good stuff in there, of course. We're gonna jump to DC, and our first clip is from Chris Johnson.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners, this is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 63 of the April previews catalog for books primarily shipping in June. And that pick is Batman and Robin, number one. Written by Grant Morrison with art by Frank Quitely. And this is a book I've been looking forward to for a long time, ever since it was rumored that Grant Morrison would be kicking off a brand new Batman title post, Battle for the Cowl. And it's really my most anticipated book for 2009, yes, even more so than Blackest Night, because I've just been really enjoying what Grant Morrison's been doing with Batman, and I can't wait to see what he does next. In this next part of what he's said is supposed to be this five book series within Batman, the first three being the collected edition, being made up of the collected editions from his Batman run, and this is the fourth book of the five, and I'm going to assume that the fifth book is going to be all about Bruce Wayne coming back, but this book looks like it's going to be great. Grant Morrison is set to be on it for 12 issues, and Frank Quitely is going to do the artwork for the first three and the last three issues, with Philip Tan and Doug Monkey doing the middle six. And, you know, I'm really psyched to see more collaboration between Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. You know, I think that Frank Quitely just gets Morrison better than any other artist. Really is able to maximize what Grant Morrison's looking to express from his scripts. And the last thing Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely did together was All-Star Superman, which was just phenomenal. And I really can't wait to see what their collaboration on Batman is going to bring.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that too. I have generally enjoyed anything that Morrison does that he has teamed up with Quitely on. I think Quitely is a comprehensive influence on Grant Morrison, that he makes Grant Morrison stuff consumable by me.
Yeah, he seems to have the best grasp on how to translate a Morrison script into an enjoyable comic.
Okay, next up, continuing the Batman area of the DC solicits, we have a special DCBS discount that we recommended this month on Detective Comics 854. Now, Detective is switching over to focus on Batwoman, and this is written by Greg Rucka with some, looks like, beautiful J.H. Williams art. And there's also, what really has me excited about this book is there's going to be a backup with the Renee Montoya Question, also written by Greg Rucka with Cully Hamner art. Now, there's some special discounts on all the backup or co-feature things this month from DCBS. So this issue is 75% off if you're ordering through DCBS, which is a tremendously good deal on this. It's only going to set you back a buck. And the other Batman co-feature is Batman Streets of Gotham, also 75% off. And that one's written by Paul Dini. And there's going to be a backup on that by Mark Andraco, which is the fabulous Manhunter series that was canceled recently. But that was a really good series, and I'm looking forward to that one also. So Detective on page 65, Streets of Gotham on page 67, both of them are 75% off from DCBS.
Yeah, I'm going to be checking both of those out, at least the first issues, and we'll see from there, again with the budget cuts. Now, another one that DCBS has got at a 75% discount because of the co-feature is Booster Gold number 21 on page 76. This is written by Dan Juergens with art by Dan Juergens and Norm Ratman. And the backup feature is Blue Beetle by Matt Sturgis and Mike Norton. And the Booster Gold part is, you know, he learns of Batman's death, so he goes to the Batcave to visit, and he meets the new Batman, whoever that's going to turn out to be. And in the 10-page co-feature, really it's a backup feature. If it had equal length, I'd call it a co-feature, but I mean, come on. You know, we're gonna catch up with Jamie Reyes and his friends in El Paso, Texas as they get, you know, attacked by a 50-foot robot. And, you know, I'm glad they're keeping Blue Beetle in play. This is a interesting place to do it. Hopefully the backup feature approach is gonna really work out for DC. Another one that's kind of interesting, right next to it on the same page, is Brave and the Bold number 24. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. And it's the first meeting between Static and Black Lightning. And both of these are, you know, very kind of similar characters in nature. And I love the twist they have on this. Is, you know, Virgil Hawkins, Static, you know, really upstanding kid, has a bit of a problem with authority figures, particularly ones that appear like they may be fairly corrupt, you know, cronies of Luthor, like Jefferson Pierce, Black Lightning, who was the Secretary of Education under Luthor. So, it looks like a very interesting, you know, source of friction there. And, should be pretty fun.
And, I agree. Moving out of that to our next, recommendation, we're gonna go to page 86 with the Absolute Justice hardcover. Now, Justice, 12-issue series by Alex Ross and Jim Kruger on writing, with art by Alex Ross on top of some breakdowns by Doug Braithwaite. And this was an absolutely beautiful series. I mean, classic Justice League stuff. When that came out, it was very popular, and then they had gone and they had done a bunch of hardcovers. Inexplicably, they did these four-issue hardcovers, so there were three hardcovers. And I purposely avoided those because I knew they were going to do an absolute, and here it is. And this is all in one place. You got all 12 issues. You got a new cover, Alex Ross sketchbook, unseen art book, lots of extras like you have in any Absolute edition. Now, normally, you know, $100 for an Absolute, but this one, this month, through DCBS, is 50% off. So you save a whopping, well, actually, it's $99. So you save $49.50, only $49.50 for this, you know, beautiful oversized hardcover. And with the page count of close to 500 pages, you're paying about 10 cents a page, which is less than you pay for in a $2.99 comic book for, you know, this huge Absolute. So highly recommended, and check this one out.
Well, and Alex Ross art deserves to be in an Absolute. You know, they've been doing a couple of Absolutes that I kind of question, but this isn't one of them. This is the packaging they really should have done right after the series.
Right. And, you know, seeing the Alex Ross art like in Kingdom Come in an Absolute format, it just looks all that much better.
Now, on page 88 is another hardcover, and I've got the individual issues for this, but, man, it was some great stuff. It's the DC Comics Classic Library Justice League of America by George Perez, Volume 1 hardcover. And I'm hoping when they say Volume 1, that means they're going to do a Volume 2. Because this collects the first half of George Perez's 1980s run on Justice League of America. This was classic satellite-era Justice League greatness. And it covers at least one of the JLA-JSA team-ups when they go up against the Secret Society of Supervillains. And I just loved that storyline. I thought it was brilliant, both with the Jerry Conway writing and, of course, the George Perez art. They're also including the rare JLA postcard set, which I'm pretty sure I've got lying around somewhere. I mean, for me, this was high watermark era for Justice League. It's nice to see they're giving it a hardcover treatment. DCBS has that at a 50% discount, which is good because this is a little pricey at $39.99. But half off, that, you know, brings it to right around the $20 mark. And again, for some great classic Justice League stories, I really recommend this. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if this is stuff that you haven't read before, and, you know, if you've ever seen and loved George Perez artwork, this is the kind of thing that I don't think is misplaced in having in a hardcover, because it's 25-year-old stuff. It's not stuff that's readily accessible in trade paperback. Now, I don't know what DC's policy is going to be on the DC Classic Library, if they're going to turn around and do soft cover versions of these. But, you know, with the DCBS discount, if you are a DCBS customer, you know, you're going to be paying not really any more for this than you would ultimately pay for it in soft cover if they were to put out a soft cover.
This is one that, even though I have the issues, if it weren't for the budget constraints, I'd consider getting the hardcover.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do that for much stuff.
Yeah, Perez is one of those artists that, what, you know, his work is just beautiful. It's the detail, especially on the team books, the care that he puts into drawing all these different characters. It's just, that's his element, you know, when he's drawing a book that has, you know, 30, 40, 50 characters in it. He just shines.
Well, and this was right around the time of the early New Teen Titans. So if you liked his art from that period, and really, you know, who wouldn't, you can see his take at that point on both the Justice League and the Justice Society.
Yep.
Okay, next up we've got a clip from Frank.
Hi, Bob and John. This is Frank from the Half Hour Wasted podcast. This month, I'm looking forward to Showcase Presents Batlash. Batlash is a Western character that's been compared to the TV series Maverick. But from my understanding, the main character is one who enjoys the finer things in life while keeping a sense of humor throughout his mishaps. While I've always been a fan of capes, I am intrigued by the Western genre. One other reason to consider this title is its price point. Only $9.99 for 240 pages. So, will Batlash save the West or ruin it? Well, you be the judge when you give this title a try. Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
And I'll second Frank's recommendation there. Batlash, I have the original issues there. And Batlash is a great series. And one thing that a lot of people don't actually know about Batlash is that he was co-created by Sergio Aragonés. And Sergio, while not dialoguing the stories, actually wrote the stories in the original Batlash comic strip back there. And this collects some very hard-to-find stuff, his Showcase appearance in Showcase 76, the original series, and then some stories that were in various issues of Jonah Hex here and there. So great stuff and well worth the price of $9.99 full price, and at DCBS it would only be $5.99. So for $6, this 240-page collection is definitely something that is worth picking up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a bargain in terms of the amount of content for the cost. So, okay, next up, we've got our first clip this month from Damien.
Hey guys, Damien here from the Cryptographic Podcast with my first pick for the month, which is going to be Astro City, the Dark Age Book 1 trade paperback. Now, if you had heard in one of the earlier back issue spotlights, we were actually talking about the very first run of Astro City. This has been a favourite book of mine, but of late I've actually just been getting it in trade rather than the issues. Just a money situation, but I've been waiting for this to come up. This is actually collecting the first 8 chapters of the 16-part Dark Age saga, and it's revealing the history of Astro City and shedding some light on its greatest heroes. I've been waiting for this for some time. I know it comes out irregularly anyway, but you know, I've been looking forward to this one, and I'm glad that it's finally came out. It's $19.99, comes out for on sale at the 15th of July, and it's 256 pages. So if you haven't read Astro City, this shows the whole history of where the city came from and everything, so it will be really worthwhile picking up. I can't say any more about it. It is a great book. The art is always fantastic. And, you know, I can't get enough of it, as I keep saying. Okay, then, I'll let you go back to Bob and John.
I have to echo a lot of that. Astro City is brilliant stuff. It's some of Kurt Busiek's best writing, and it really showcases Brent Anderson's art. I think it's his best work, too. And I picked up the individual issues that are in this trade, enjoyed them. I thought they're really good. And I, too, can't get enough of it, and I mean that quite literally, because on the same page, they've got Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 3, Number 2, and because of budget cuts, you know, and it's killing me to do this, I've had to not put that one on my order for this month. You know, it's a $3.99 book. It's worth the $3.99, but, you know, it's one I'm definitely going to pick up at some point once I, you know, get employed and get some money coming in. Because you cannot go wrong with Astro City.
It bears the distinction, and this is no reflection on Kurt Busiek because he has nothing to do with it, but it bears the distinction of being one of the only books put out by DC that is $3.99 for a standard 22-page book. Pretty much everything else that they have raised to a $3.99 price point has had additional material in it. I can't think of any other book that DC has at $3.99 for 22 pages besides this Astro City book.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to figure some of that's because it's creator-owned, whatever, but it's certainly no fault of Kurt Busiek's, like you mentioned. And it's one of the few that even at the $3.99, I think it's worth the price.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm trying to stay under $100. You know, when I had my order, I went through, okay, what's the most expensive thing I can knock off? Oh, crap, it's that, you know?
Yep, and that's the kind of thing where, you know, it's like I don't mind paying more for a creator-owned project, which is why when I'm out buying an indie book or something like that, you know, there a lot of the indie books are, you know, $3.50, $3.99 just as a kind of a standard thing. But I look at the content, and if it's something that I really enjoy, I think it's really well done, I have no problem paying $3.99 for it. And that's exactly the boat that I'm in here with Astro City. Since I'm not under those really hardcore budget constraints, I have absolutely no problem picking up Astro City Dark Age for $3.99. There are lots of books that they raised to $3.99 at Marvel that I look at them, I look at the creative team, and I say, I don't think so, and I drop them. This book, they raised to $3.99, it's like, oh well, I'll keep buying it because it's great. So that's the distinction, for me anyway. Next thing I want to talk about, might have missed some people's notice, Vertigo has some new hardcovers that they're putting out, original graphic novels in the hardcover form. They're black and white. They are the Vertigo Crime hardcovers. They've got one by Brian Azzarello with art by Victor Santos called Filthy Rich on page 107. And on page 111, they have another one called Dark Entries by Ian Rankin with art by Werther Del Edera. I hope I'm correctly pronouncing that. I'm completely unsure. The thing that I particularly wanted to point out there is that the Dark Entries one is a Hellblazer story, and it does feature John Constantine, which might be something that people miss, because I missed it the first time through, and Damian pointed it out to me when I was talking to him on Skype, and I'm like, oh, I missed that, so I am getting that. And DCBS does have a extra special 55% off discount on both these Vertigo Crime hardcovers this month, so you can pick them up. Their normal price is $19.99. Get them for $8.99, and that's for a 216-page hardcover in the case of the Dark Entries one, which is a pretty darn good deal for $9 for a 216-page hardcover.
Yeah, they really could have done a better job pointing out that had Hellblazer in it. I mean, it's clearly in the solicit in a little block out there, but I mean, there are going to be people looking at that cover who are going to completely miss that.
Yeah. It might have been a better idea to have not the skull face on that. I am assuming in the trench coat that is Constantine. But they should have just drawn a regular John Constantine on the cover. Anyway. What are you going to do?
I would have put the word Hellblazer somewhere on the cover.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
But, you know, you don't work for DC Marketing. They seem to have a minor in cryptography in the DC Marketing Department. If you don't have to solve a riddle to figure out what the hell they're soliciting, marketing does not seem to have done its job at DC.
Yeah, which is too bad. Okay, moving over to Image. First thing we've got there is on page 136. We've got a 50% discount, and that's Dawn, Not to Touch the Earth, One Shot. This is, of course, by Joseph Michael Linsner on both the story and the art. And, I mean, the guy just does some amazing art. This is a 48-page, full-color, all-new feature-length one-shot. So it's new material. It's also going to have some pinups in the back by Michael Golden, Michael Turner, Adam Hughes, and, you know, it's $5.99, but again, half off, and, you know, 48 pages. So, if you like Linsner's art, and, you know, it's hard not to, this is definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, and this, again, it's commemorating this year, Dawn being around for 20 years, so, you know, a character making it 20 years, even though Dawn kind of only pops up, you know, now and again. It is a very iconic-looking character. When you see a Linsner drawing of Dawn, it generally turns your head, and you say, wow, look at that. At least that's how it works for me. Next up, just a couple of pages farther on page 138, we have Dead at 17, Afterbirth. This is taking the Dead at 17 series by Josh Howard that used to be at Devil's Due. I believe it was Devil's Due, right? And it has now jumped to Image. This is the first issue at Image. So we're going to follow more of the adventures of Nera Kilday. I have read this, and basically she's a girl who's got like some kind of mystic power, mystic thing going on. She died. She came back. She has superpowers, kind of like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibe, but it's not like any kind of a direct riff or ripoff on Buffy, but, you know, she's fighting evil cults and kind of, you know, the hot young girl with, you know, kind of marginal superpowers going around whooping on cultists and demons with an axe or a sword or something like that. So if that's the kind of thing that appeals to you, this would be something that you should probably check out. And this first issue through DCBS does have a special discount here of 75% off. So you can get this first issue for 74 cents. And another thing of note is that the normal price for this is $2.99, which again is actually a cut in price from what they were charging for the Dead at 17 books over at Devil's Due.
Was it Devil's Due or was it Viper?
It was Viper. So you are correct. Viper Comics, not Devil's Due. Devil's Due is Hack Slash.
And they've also got on page 139 here, they've got four pages of interior art. And, you know, it's got a little bit of a, I won't say a cartoony or manga kind of a feel to it, but it really works and it looks nice. It looks good.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very distinctive style. So you look at his art and either, you know, it's like with any art, right? A certain art style is going to hit people, and you're either going to like that art style or you're not. Now, Josh has got a really nice, simple, but, you know, nicely rendered style, and it's something that really appeals to me. When I see it, I mean, I can pick it out right away, and I really enjoy his art style. So when he does a book, I really gravitate towards it. So this is definitely something I'll be picking up. Viper, you're right.
Okay, next up, we've got a submission from Bill.
This is Bill, DVM from the forum, with my first pick this month. It is from Image Comics, and the title is Chew Number 1, from John Layman and Rob Glory. It's on page 142 of the previews catalog. Chew is a comic about a cop with a secret. The cop's name is Tony Chew, and he's cybopathic, which means he gets psychic impressions from whatever he eats. I am picking this comic simply for the concept, the idea of a detective who eats things to find out what happened to, or to solve crimes is quite unique, I feel, and intriguing. I found a little snippet online from the artist, Rob Glory. It reads, Chew is about a federal agent who is able to get psychic impressions from the things he eats. When there's a corpse that shows up in the sewers or the garbage dump, he is sent and has to chew on the corpse to figure out what killed them. So, based on the concept alone, I would probably pick up this book. But in addition to that, there's a little couple pages here in previews of the artwork. It says newcomer Rob Glory, so I'm not sure if he's done anything before. I'm not aware of anything he's done. But his art is very good. It's kind of a little bit reminiscent of maybe a Jim Mahfood a little bit, kind of cartoony, but with a grittiness to it as well. I'm really looking forward to checking this out. I think Image has been bringing out a lot of really cool books lately, so I'm definitely on board with this one.
This is, I think, played a little bit tongue-in-cheek. They've got some sample art here by Rob Guillory, and you know, it's something that, check it out on page 142 and 143 of the previews catalog. If it seems like something that would appeal to you, this is another $2.99, 32-page book from Image.
Okay, next up we've got a clip from Damien.
Hey guys, Damien back again with my next pick, and this one's going to be The Absurd Adventures of Archibald Aardvark, Volume 1, story by Grant Mondin, Dwight McPherson, and Dara Nargili. I butchered that name, I know that much. And the art and cover has been done by Grant Bond. This is going to be 112 pages, $14.99, coming out from Image. And it's actually collecting all of the Archibald that's came out so far, so I know that you've heard me talk about Archibald before for the Insane Aardvark's adventures. It's also including a brand new 22-page story completing the Archibald saga, so this is sort of like the wrap-up for everything there. So really, I would recommend picking this one up if you haven't read anything from it before. It's been a fun little book. It's a bit cartoonish in the writing, but to be honest, it's got that's the closest thing you'll get to having sort of a kid's book there. I really recommend this one. I've been loving it when it came out with Dwight and Grant doing it, and I can't get enough of the book. So this is one that's definitely on my list to pick up. It's solicited to be out on June 10th. Now, hopefully it will hit out then, and yeah, go and get this book. This is a fun book. If you just want a fun read. Okay, then. Back to the guys.
Okay, so we're going to now jump into the Marvel catalog. And we're going to start out with a clip from Randy Zingaro.
Hey, Bob and John. This is Randy Zingaro, and I'm making my first ever submission to your previews program. And my submission for today is in the Marvel Previews catalog on pages 10 and 11. The Miss America comics number 1 70th anniversary special and the Young Allies comic number 1 70th anniversary special. Being a big Golden Age fan, I've always enjoyed this kind of stuff, and I did pick up the Captain America 70th anniversary edition and found it a very interesting read. So I'm going to recommend this to anybody who's interested in that sort of thing. And that'll be it. Thank you very much.
So Marvel has been doing a lot of these 70th anniversary things that seem to have a combination of a new story along with a classic Golden Age reprint from the Golden Age story. So this is another two in that series. So the same thing Randy said, if you like Golden Age Marvel, this is right up your alley. And we're going to move from that to New Avengers, which is a little farther on in the Marvel catalog on page 24. And this one is of note because it's if you've been following New Avengers, you'll know that Doctor Strange has been having some problems, and he is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme. And there's been a storyline running there where there is a search for the new Sorcerer Supreme of the Earth dimension. And that Sorcerer Supreme is supposed to be chosen here in New Avengers number 54, heralded as a very important chapter in Avengers history and the lore of Marvel magic. I'm very interested to see who that new Sorcerer Supreme is going to be. There's some different candidates that they've been talking about in the pages of New Avengers. We have got a special discount recommended for this issue. If you want to try it out, it's normally $3.99. You can get a 50% off for $1.99 for this particular issue. Now, a little farther along in the Marvel catalog, got another choice here for you, and that is the Dark Reign Sinister Spider-Man number 1. That's on page 35. Now, Dark Reign is it's winding its way through the Marvel universe, and there's a tremendous number of Dark Reign spin-off titles. We have just this month solicited. We have Dark Reign Lethal Legion, Dark Reign Mr. Negative, Dark Reign Elektra, Dark Reign Hawkeye, Dark Reign Zodiac, Dark Reign Fantastic Four, Dark Reign The Hood, Dark Reign Young Avengers, and Dark Reign Sinister Spider-Man. So what made this one jump out at me? Well, really, it's that it's written by Brian Reed, who's been doing a bang-up job on a lot of different titles at Marvel, and the art is by Barry Kitson. And I love Barry Kitson's art. I really probably took notice of him first when he did JLA Year One, I think it was, with... did he do that with Wade?
Yeah, he did that, yeah.
I just love Barry Kitson's art. And, you know, Sinister Spider-Man is the... is Venom, who's Matt Gargan, who used to be the Scorpion, who got the Venom symbiote, and he's actually playing the Spider-Man in the Dark Avengers. So I'm a big Spider-Man fan. I've been a fan of the Scorpion for a long time, Matt Gargan. I love Barry Kitson's art. You know, just the creative team here for this one has really, and the subject matters, caused me to say, okay, let me try this one out. I'm not going to get a lot of the different Dark Reign series, but I will try this one out. And DCBS does have this particular book for a 75% off discount, so you can get this and try it out for 99 cents if you're a DCBS customer.
Okay, next up, we've got some picks from Randy Zingaro.
Hey guys, this is Randy Zingaro again, and I'm making another submission from the Marvel Previews catalog. On page 40, the Agents of Atlas number 6. I've been reading the series since John and Bob had recommended it at one point, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. So this issue seems to be interesting too, where they go down to meet Prince Namor, and there should be some interesting things that happen there. So I highly recommend, if you're not reading this series, definitely pick it up. Thank you.
I read the first issue of Agents of Atlas and liked it, but it fell victim to budget cuts for me.
Yeah, I'm going through a Marvel phase lately, so I've been liking a lot of the Marvel titles a little more so than some of the DC. It's not to say I don't like DC, but just when I get my weekly stuff, I'll generally read through my Marvel stuff first. And Agents of Atlas, particularly that, and some other stuff that Jeff Parker's writing, has really been knocking it out of the park for me lately. They're telling a really nice story there, so I will be right there with Randy's recommendation on this one.
And now we got another clip from Randy. He, too, apparently is a Marvel fan.
This is Randy Zingaro again with another submission from Marvel Previews. On page 42, The Avengers Invaders, number 12 of 12. I've been reading this series now for a while, also on the recommendations of you guys, and I've been enjoying it quite a bit. So this looks to be the one that wraps it all up. So once more, if you're not picking this particular series up, I highly recommend it. And thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm loving the Avengers Invaders limited series. It is great stuff. So hopefully it'll go out with a nice, great, you know, bang and solid conclusion, and I have no doubt that it will.
I was really happy with, you know, the fact that they took a kind of a turn partway through this series that I completely didn't see coming, but I kind of should have. It was completely logical, but it just did take me by surprise and just brought them off into a whole nother direction, because there was something kind of digging at the back of my mind at the beginning of like, wow, how are they going to really stretch this out to 12 issues? You know, but then they made that turn, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And it really worked, and it has really been an enjoyable series, and I'm really looking forward to the conclusion of it.
Now, on the next page, on page 43, is the first of three issues for Beta Ray Bill God Hunter. It's got a 50% discount through DCBS. And it's basically, you know, Beta Ray Bill has had kind of one major, you know, goal or whatever, and that's, you know, protecting the Corbinites, their home and stuff. And, well, he kind of failed in that. You know, Galactus kind of came and you know, well, I guess was a little hungry at the time, as Galactus is wont to be. So Beta Ray Bill is now going to go hunt down Galactus, and I guess have words with him.
I would say having Galactus eat the planet you are protecting is an epic failure.
Pretty much, yeah. And one that's hard to recover from. I mean, I'm curious, one, how he's going to try to make Galactus pay. I mean, what kind of restitution can he do? But, you know, it should be some good, you know, essentially cosmic level stuff here. And Beta Ray Bill is a fun character, and, you know, it's got 22 pages of new story, and it's got some reprint stuff in there, and it's $3.99, but again, 50% discount. And I do like how Marvel specified the length of the new story out of the total of 40 pages and stuff. So kudos for them for doing that.
Yeah, I wish they would do that just in general more in other places, you know, in their solicit, like they have here, 40 pages, and they have new story, 22 pages. And it just, let us know. You know, it would be very nice.
And it'd be nice to see how many pages of the reprints, too. But, I mean, this is a great step in that direction. Okay, next up, we've got one more pick from Randy. Let's listen to that.
This is Randy Zingaro for his last submission from the Marvel's preview catalog. On page 44, Captain America number 600. This is the character that brought me into comic collecting way back when, and he's also the character who brought me back to it just recently with the Death of Captain America arc. And I'm really enjoying this series also. So I think this is going to be a big issue. This is the anniversary of the day that Steve Rogers was killed. So this should be pretty interesting. It says that there's going to be a wicked plot twist, so I'm curious to see what that's all about. So I'm sure there's not too many of you out there who aren't reading this, but if you aren't, you are definitely missing a good series. So pick this up and go back and buy all the back issues and do it now. So, back to you, John and Bob.
Yeah, this is just a great series. I think it's some of Brubaker's strongest work. And, you know, they're doing here what they did on Thor, and that's a 104-page comic book issue. And with Thor, they had, like, 80 pages of new material and some backup stuff. And here, I suspect they're going to do the same thing. They're going to have a classic Golden Age story, the cover gallery of the 600 covers, and some other stuff, but I think it's also going to be a really solid, strong, and probably extra-sized main story.
Yeah, and that was a really nice touch when they did that on Thor, and I think that as they come up with these anniversary issues, that they keep up that kind of format that they had on Thor 600. I mean, that was an extremely impressive package, and they now have set a bar for themselves, and as long as they kind of keep on hitting that bar, you know, they're doing really good. And I'm looking forward to this one. I'm going to look forward to Spider-Man 600 coming up, and, you know, there'll be an FF anniversary coming along, and just keep on doing these really nice packages for these anniversary issues. You know, get a nice discount on this one. Again, through DCBS, you can pick this up for 50% off, so $2.50, even though the cover price is $5. And, you know, I think we pointed this out for Thor. It was worth it at $5. I think even at $5, it was only like 8 cents a page or something. And, you know, for $2.50, you can't let this one go by.
Agreed. Cap's one I've probably got the largest collection of out of everything in my stuff. So, okay, next up we've got a pick from Jason.
Hi, my name is Jason Shank, and this is my first ever recording, so please bear with me. What I'd like to talk about today, Marvel Masterworks, the Fantastic Four Volume 2 trade paperback. That's going to be coming out in June of 2009. First off, I just want to start with the cover alone. I know when the hardcovers came out, they had the kind of classic look, and it was still looked nice, but just really wasn't my kind of style. But I love these new variant black covers that they have, and it's just a really, really nice look at, so great thing there. This trade collects issues 11 through 20, plus annual number 1. These stories include things like the Thing versus the Hawk for the first time, the first encounter they had with the Watcher. It also has a backup feature of a little scuffle between the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man himself. So, again, the cover is just great. I have the first trade with the black cover, and it's just awesome. It's listed for $24.99. If you shop at DCBS or any other online store, that you get 35% off at. It's about $8.75 off, so you're looking at about $16.24. 304-page book. Great, you know, great deal that-wise. So again, fan of Fantastic Four, love reading classic comics. Check it out. Fantastic Four, Volume 2, Trade Paperback. Next, back to you, Bob John.
That is some great FF stories that are told in that volume. I mean, great classic Lee and Kirby stuff. So, you know, if you, again, if this is something that you've never read, if you're interested in the history of Marvel, more so to me than the Golden Age stuff, Marvel, to me, is Silver Age. It's FF1 forward is what defined the Marvel Age of comics, and that's why Marvel, it's that foundation that is the reason that Marvel's the number one comic book company today. I mean, it's just the stuff that these guys created, and this is, you know, within the first year of that renaissance of comics, and it really, they raised the game for DC. You know, DC's stuff that they did that, you know, kind of really turned that company around was a response to what Lee and Kirby were doing with FF. The Justice League was a response to what Lee and Kirby did with the Fantastic Four. So, you know, again, if this is a lot of people who read comics, they've read this stuff. If you've never read the early Fantastic Four, you know, you owe it to yourself to give it a read.
Yeah, well, you look at how many characters, teams, and titles have kind of come and gone over the years. And really, at both Marvel and DC, there's only a handful that have really been sticking around, you know, for a great length of time. And, you know, at Marvel, you look at the early Fantastic Four, the early X-Men, the early Spider-Man, and stuff like that, and they set such a solid foundation for the universe. That, I mean, that's why those characters are still around and just so popular these days. So I'm pretty sure I've got the hardcover version of this. But if you don't have it, I agree, Bob. People really ought to pick this up and read this stuff. And now our final clip from the Marvel previews. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners. This is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 104 of the April Marvel previews for books shipping in June, and that pick is The Irredeemable Ant-Man Trade Paperback. This is written by Robert Kirkman with art by Phil Hester and Corey Walker, and this collects issues 1 through 12 of The Irredeemable Ant-Man series. Now, this is one of my favorite series in recent years. I think it's one of the most original superhero comics that's been put out by Marvel, DC, you know, anybody who's putting out superhero comics. And it's basically about this low-level S.H.I.E.L.D. agent named Eric O'Grady who stumbles upon one of Hank Pym's new Ant-Man suit, and instead of using it for heroics and, you know, what usually somebody, a superhero, would do if he found this, you know, super suit, he uses it to peek at women in showers. Eric O'Grady is just this complete slime ball of a character. He just does one completely deplorable thing after another, and you just keep watching. You don't think that he can become any bigger of a slime ball, and then he proves you wrong in the next issue. And it's just a really hilarious book. Robert Kirkman writing at the top of his game, I thought, and Phil Hester's artwork is fantastic. It's 272 pages for $34.99, so it's a bit pricey. If you're getting it off of DCBS, you'll get it for around $20. And if it's still too pricey, Marvel did put out two digest collections collecting the entire series. Whichever way you want to go with it, the digest, the trade paperback, go look for the single issues. You know, whatever way you want to find it, I highly suggest picking up all 12 issues of the series. It was just a fantastic series that was canceled way before its time, and one that I wish everybody would give a look.
Yeah, it was a fun series, and it's one of those where he's right. You always thought, okay, this character can't do anything more deplorable. Oh, wait, he just did. I think it was some of Kirkman's best writing at Marvel. Definitely worth checking out. And bringing us back into the main previews catalog, starting us out in the back half for the other comics and graphic novels, is another clip from Bill.
Hi, this is Bill with my second pick of the month. This is on page 186 of previews from Outhouse Books, something I have been looking forward to, and I'm very excited about. It is Johnny Hero, Volume 1, from Fred Chow. Johnny Hero is part action, adventure, part sci-fi, part romance. Johnny Hero tells the story of every man and the challenges he faces. Challenges like the revenge of a big lizard, or the quest for a lobster, or what can happen when 47 Ronin go to the opera. See why this comic was nominated for 4 Eisner Awards and a Russ Manning Award. This is 192 pages and is $14.95 from Madhouse Books. I read somewhere that Johnny Hero is best described as a cross between Voltron and Iron Chef, mixed with a romance comic. It's the story of Johnny Hero and all his adventures in, if I remember correctly, New York. Fred was actually working on the 4th and 5th single issues of this series when, but before they were released, Diamond brought out their infamous policy change that affected a lot of the smaller press publications, whereby they were limiting the number of smaller press comics that they're bringing into previews. So rather than bring them out as individual issues, which may not have made it into previews, I guess Fred and Nat House decided just to take the last 2 remaining issues and put them into a trade paperback. So it's my understanding that this will contain Johnny Heroes number 1 through 5 and some additional work as well that Fred put in there. I've only read 1 issue of this number 2, and it was the issue where Johnny, working in a restaurant, is working in a restaurant, and a famous restaurant critic comes into the restaurant and wants a dish, and a very special dish, and they don't happen to have that particular ingredient. It was a special kind of lobster in the restaurant, so Johnny has to go out and find this lobster, and he actually has to steal it from a neighboring restaurant. So it's all of his adventures in trying to steal this lobster. This is a very fun series, and one of the real selling points of it is Fred's art. He's an outstanding artist, and has a really unique style. I know that there's a preview of pages from the book on Athouse's site. If you're not familiar with Fred's work, then I would recommend checking that out. Of course, I'd recommend picking this book up. Fred is a big supporter of podcasting and makes appearances on forums. So he's definitely someone who I feel, you know, it's worth giving your money to and supporting. And I know this is probably going to be the first thing I read once it shows up at my door. So Johnny Hero from Madhouse Books comes highly recommended.
The Diamond policy Bill was referring to was the new order thresholds. And if Diamond doesn't have enough orders to make a purchase order for, I think, $2,500 worth of an item, they're not going to make the purchase. So for smaller press stuff, and now that we're in the back half of previews, this applies to a lot of the publishers, and certainly Outhouse Books. If you want this stuff, pre-order it. I think Fred Chow made the right choice of taking those 2 issues and holding them off to put in a trade, because that's much more likely to get that order threshold he needs for Diamond to place the order. And it would have really been unfortunate if he'd put out a 4th issue, it didn't quite make it, wound up looking like it got canceled, etc. You know, again, if you want stuff in the back half of previews, pre-order, that's the whole reason we're doing these episodes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really the trick there, is that it's Diamond wants to make some threshold of dollars off of any given item. So a trade paperback, since it's got a higher price, it can sell less units and still make the money for Diamond that they want from a listing. So again, Fred did the right thing there to make this switch. Now, speaking of some things where you're getting new material out, I want to talk about the Arkea Studios relaunch. Arkea kind of went silent about a year ago. I think the only thing that they've really put out is they put in an issue of Mouse Guard in the interim. I believe. They might have put out a hardcover of Mouse Guard, but they actually, the company was bought by some new owners. I don't have a lot of detail on it, but they are doing a relaunch finally where they're getting some stuff back out. And this month, they do have the final issues of a couple of series that were coming out. So The Killer, which is a very highly acclaimed European series that they were bringing over to the U.S. It was a 10-issue series, and 9 issues had come out, and finally the 10th issue of that series is coming out, and it's solicited here in this month's previews. And then another one that we got only part of is Cade Rising Sun. We're getting the very last issue of that coming out also. And then actually, I think Cade is from Arcana Studios, just on the same page. But Killer, number 10, definitely. Another one, The Awakening. Now, this is another great series by Nick Tapolansky. And on this series, and Damian's going to talk a little bit more about it, but this was a 5-issue series, and I believe only 3 issues of that ever made it out. And what they've decided to do here, similar to what happened with Johnny Hero, is they're putting out the hardcover that's got the entire 5-issue series. So that hardcover will have 2 issues of all new material that has never seen print before. Similarly, we have Some New Kind of Slaughter. And this one also had 2 issues come out previously. It was a 4-issue series, so now they're going straight to hardcover, and they're going to put the whole 4-issue series here that we're now going to see the two issues that we had never seen before, all new material. Now, the only one that they're not going for this month direct to trade on is Robotica. Now, Robotica had a previous series that came out from Archaea, and that one is available in trade and hardcover from Archaea. And by the way, Archaea put some really beautiful hardcovers together. The hardcovers that I've got from Archaea are really, really nice. And the Robotica hardcover is no exception. I have that hardcover. Now, Robotica had a second series, and only 1 issue of that came out, and it was over a year ago. The second series called For a Few Rubles More. And so now what they're doing is they're putting out a double-sized number 1 and number 2 so that if you didn't have that issue from a year or whatever ago, you can get right back into it. You know, it's not that much more. It's a double size issue, and it's only $1 more than it would normally cost. So that's a pretty good deal. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do the exact same thing when they finally bring Titanium Rain back, and that should be solicited in another month or so. If you might recall, John and I were raving about that series, about how much we loved it, and only 1 issue of that came out little over a year ago also, or maybe about a year ago. So I think they're going to be coming out with a combined issue 1 and 2 of that one also. And we'll talk more about that when that's relaunched. But Archaea, they've kind of worked their way through whatever issues they were having. They are back. They've got the relaunch. People who had been following the Archaea stuff can now pick up new versions of this Archaea stuff. So don't miss this. If you were following and enjoyed any of this Archaea stuff, check out page 196 and 197 of the catalog. On page 194 and 195, they've got some nice 2-page spread with some information about the Archaea return. Just check that out. And now let's listen to Damian talk a little bit more in depth about The Awakening.
Hey guys, Damian back again with my next pick for the month, which is going to be on page 196. It is Awakening Volume 1 Hardcover, coming out from the Archaea Studio Press, which is finally back this month after a long reshuffle. We've been waiting for a lot of the books to come out. Now, this book originally came out, the first 3 issues came out. Issues 4 and 5 actually never were seen due to the restructure, and they've finally released it to come back now, and instead of actually putting it into you know, just re-releasing the issues or just releasing issues 4 and 5. They've decided to collect it all and put it into a hardcover. It is 144 pages, $19.95, and it looks to be a really cool book. I've actually sort of had a bit of a flick through. I missed actually getting the issues when it originally came out, and I'm waiting for this one to arrive. This should be a really good book. The writer is Nick Tavolansky, and the artist is Alex Ekman-Lorne. And as it says in the solicitor, it's, the once peaceful city of Park Falls has been tainted by a series of gruesome murders and missing persons. Cynthia Thorne, known as this town's crazy, finds a retired police detective and relates to him her beliefs about what's going on in town. It is a zombie book, and it has got the zombie-rific statement from previews, so, you know, if you want to get some good zombie sort of books, this is a good way to start. It's the complete set, so it's all 5 issues put together there, and I really recommend it. Okay, back to the guys.
So, and certainly don't penalize these creators for, you know, business decisions that happen at the publisher kind of, you know, above them. You know, it's good to see RKS Studios, you know, back getting stuff out, and, you know, hopefully we'll see some more great stuff from them, like Titanium Rain, in the coming months.
Right, and, you know, this happens sometimes with the publishers. I'm just glad that Arkea did get bought, and it's, you know, continuing on, because if the company gets dissolved, then you have rights issues, and, you know, it's the creators that get hurt in these situations. It's one thing when somebody self-publishes, but when they publish their own creation, but it's through a company, there's various kind of legal issues that are involved, and they can just get handcuffed, and their creation is in limbo for a tremendous period of time, and they can't do anything about it. And it's, you know, got to just, you know, kill these folks when something like this happens. So I'm just tremendously happy to see the Arkea stuff back on track and this really nice independent material seeing the light of day finally.
Okay, next up we've got another clip from Damien.
Hey guys, Damien from Welcome to Heavenside back with my next pick. This one is again from Avatar Press, and it's going to be Anna Mercury 2, the start of the second miniseries about Anna Mercury, which was our red-headed sci-fi adventuress going through multiple Earths that were connected and didn't know of each other and all sorts of stuff like that. I love the first series. I can't, you know, I mean, didn't expect to actually have the second series coming out so soon, but hey, I'm going to get this one. It looks to be a great title. It's coming in 4 covers this time. So you've got your regular cover, your painted cover, your poster edition, so it actually comes sealed with a poster, and the wraparound cover. Now, they're going to be $3.99 each. But coming from Avatar Press, you get fantastic artwork on the books. You know, I can't say enough about Avatar's artwork on the books. And Warren Ellis doing the writing was Warren Ellis doing Avatar work. I love all this stuff he's been doing from Avatar. I can't get enough of that either. Now, if you didn't pick up the first series, I know it was only in last month's previews, or maybe the previews before. It actually was listed for the hardcover and softcover for that, so you might want to check that out just to get the background on Anna Mercury herself. She's basically like a cross between your James Bonds and every other action hero you've ever seen. I just love the book. I can't get enough of it. You know, the art's fantastic, as I've said, and who can't resist a redhead temptress like that? So, okay, I'll let you go back to the guys.
I read the first miniseries, and, you know, it's got typical Warren Ellis, you know, sci-fi, you know, slant to it and stuff, and again, great action heroine and, you know, some fun stuff.
Yeah, and this issue also is one that we did recommend for a special discount with DCBS. There are 4 different covers. There is a special discount on 3 of them. Normally it's $3.99. You can get 50% off on the painted cover, on the wraparound cover, and on the regular cover. The one that does not have the special discount is the special poster edition. I guess it comes bagged with a poster of Anna Mercury. I'm going to get the painted cover myself on this one. And next we're going to pop up to page 214 with Damien for some William Shatner-y goodness.
Hey guys, Damien here with my surprise pick of the month, and this is one that jumped out at me that I wasn't expecting coming out from Blue Water Productions. It is going to be William Shatner's Tech War number one. Yes, it's a William Shatner one. It's based on the novels that he actually wrote, and also, I don't know if you remember, back in the 90s, they had actually like the telemovie series for it as well. I love the novels. I love the actual telemovie series. I can't wait for this to come out. It's been a long time since I've actually gotten into this one. If I remember correctly, it's sort of like your cyberpunk type world where they're, you know, bastardizing technology to, you know, be able to produce drugs and things like that. And you have Jake Carrigan after a 4-year cryogenic stasis. He's been released. He's finding himself lost in a world since he's been incarcerated, and Jake tries to pull his life back together. Now, I don't know really, a lot of people don't like what William Shatner's been doing or think it's a bit of a joke, but this was a great series. Like as I said, I can't recommend the actual novels or even the telemovies enough with this one. And I know the telemovies were made in the 90s and they're rather cheesy and, you know, poorly done, but hey, check this one out. Grab the first issue, see what it's like. $3.99, 32 pages, on page 214. Check it out, guys.
The telemovies are a little dated in terms of the special effects and stuff, but were not that bad. And I believe Marvel's, might have been the Epic line, did a run of Tech War, or the Tech War Chronicles, or something like that, for, I'm thinking, about 24 issues. So I don't know if this is going to cover, I think it'll cover some of the same ground, but, you know, don't dismiss it just because, hey, it was written by an actor or whatever. I mean, this is some decent, you know, sci-fi stuff.
I question how much was actually written by William Shatner and how much was, you know, I mean, and I, you know, like any of these actors, I mean, I think they come up with the idea and stuff, but I think they've got some ghostwriting assistance on the actual, you know, crafting of the story.
Fair enough.
You know, it's been popular. I mean, it keeps on coming around. It's been around a long time, so there's got to be something to it.
Yeah. Now, on page 216, I want to point out some stuff by Bongo, and really, I think I want to point out everything by Bongo. We've got the Best Radioactive Man event ever from Bongo this month. It starts in Simpsons Comics number 55, goes to Bart Simpson's Comics number 48, and concludes in the Simpsons Super Spectacular number 9. We've got a 50% discount for all of these, and we interviewed the writer Batten Lash, and we'll have that on the Friday episode. So, if you're into the Simpsons stuff or you're into Radioactive Man, definitely check this out. Art's by Tone Rodriguez, so should be really good there, too.
Okay, and the next one that we've got on page 222 now, we're theoretically going to have an interview about this one. I have it scheduled with Chip Mosher from Boom Studios, but we have not yet done the interview as of the time we're recording this. So hopefully we'll be able to sneak that in before our absolute deadline next week. But it's a book called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, number one. Now, this is the story by Philip K. Dick, which is the basis for the movie Blade Runner. And what this intrigued me about is that it is supposed to be a new take or a new style on putting the complete novel transplanted into the comic book meeting, mixing panel-to-panel continuity with the actual text from the novel in what is promised to be an innovative, groundbreaking 24-issue maxi series that's an experiment with the full text of a novel mixed in with the panel-panel storytelling. So hopefully we'll be able to get that interview down and we'll learn a little bit more about this. And hopefully when you listen to the interview episode on Friday, that will be in there. But in any event, I'm going to be trying this out. I'm really curious as to how this is going to go. And we have a 45% discount on this first issue from DCBS, so you can get it for $2.19.
Okay, next up, we've got another clip from Randy.
This is Randy Zingaro again, and this is my last submission for this month's preview spotlight. Although I could probably go on and on with a couple other different things, this will be my final one. It's on page 234 and 235 of the regular previews book, in the Dynamite Entertainment section, the Project Superpowers, Chapter 2, Number 0. This has been a great series. I've been reading the Death-Defying Devil and the Black Terror also, and I've been enjoying it a lot. It's great to see some of these old heroes that I have read about and read some of the stories of being brought back into the main spotlight. So this one I highly recommend, and I'm sure this is going to be a great series. And I'd like to say thank you very much to John and Bob, and I appreciate being able to put in my 2 cents here. So back to you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Well, and we appreciate the clips, Randy. And this is one that we were going to talk about anyways, because I'm a big fan of the Project Superpowers stuff. I think that starting off Chapter 2 with a zero-issue price at $1 is a great idea. And we've got a 50% discount for it at DCBS. So for 50 cents, you're going to get a full-size 32-page comic with 20 pages of story and art, a 2-page origin for the Black Terror, and who knows, they may toss in a couple extra goodies here and there. And I'm just really enjoying the whole Project Superpowers stuff. I've been reading Death-Defying Devil, Black Terror, and Masquerade. And it's just fun to kind of explore a new universe that's got kind of a modern twist on some Golden Age characters. Definitely worth checking out. They've got the first chapter, whatever, in a hardcover collection. And I can't recommend it high enough.
Page 236, Buck Rogers, number 1. This is one I actually picked the zero issue up from last month's catalog. It's only, I think it was, what, $1? And so now the number 1 issue. That issue is very short, so I thought, okay, we're going to need a little bit more to go on deciding whether this is going to be something we want to keep on getting or not. So this one's been recommended for an additional special discount. We can get 50% off here. So instead of $3.50, you're getting it for $1.75. We got Scott Beatty writing this, Carlos Raphael doing the art. I'm really interested to see how Dynamite's going to be bringing the Buck Rogers character into the comics form. A lot of people know about Buck Rogers either from, well, probably people today. I'm not sure that many people know about Buck Rogers. I mean, he had the Buster Crab cereal way back when in the 30s or 40s, whenever that was. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with that anymore. And then we had the Gil Gerard series. That was back in the 80s. And I think a lot of people reading comics today were little children at that time, so they don't maybe not remember that either. So I'll be really curious to see how Buck is brought into the 21st century with his 25th century adventures.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too. I picked up the zero issue, but again, it's only like 12 pages, so I figured I'd give it this full first issue as well. Okay, next up, moving over to IDW, we've got a clip from Ian.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I am a fan of the Comic Book Page podcast. This month, I am excited about Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, number 1 and number 2 from IDW. Yes, there are 2 issues listed this month. It's on page 264 of the previews catalog. Marvel had the license to do the adaptation for the first Star Trek movie, but since that didn't do well at the box office, they let it go for the Wrath of Khan. So there hasn't ever been a comic book for this Star Trek movie. And I believe DC picked up the license to do the adaptation for the third movie. The writer, Andy Schmidt, is a senior editor at IDW and formerly worked for Marvel. He created the Challenger Deep series for Boom Studios, which I didn't read, but it did look pretty good. The artist on this series is Chi Yang Ong, who also worked with Schmidt on Challenger Deep. He created both the covers shown here in the previews catalog, and they look really nice. I'm a fan of Star Trek, and I am interested to see what they do. This movie adaptation, 26 years after the fact, since the movie was released in 1982. The price is $3.99 for 32 pages, but DCBS has a 50% discount on issue number 1. That's my pick for this month. I hope you check it out. Thanks, Bob and John.
Now, they've got both issues 1 and 2 here, and there'll be a third issue of it next month. And for my money, it was the best Star Trek movie. So, kind of funny for it to be getting adapted into comics, you know, a few decades later. But hey, you know, that's cool. Okay, next up on the next page, we've got a clip from Damien.
Guys, it's Damien back again with my next pick. And this one's going to be from IDW, which is American McGee's Grimm number 2. Now, this is coming out by writer Dwight McPherson and artist Grant Bond. It is based on the characters created by American McGee, who's known for a lot of his video game stuff. He actually did some work on, I think the most well-known one he did was actually Alice, which was a grown-up Alice in Wonderland going back to a twisted Wonderland, and you had to go through and splice and dice things. That, if I remember correctly, actually originally was working for id Software, who were the creators of Quake and things like that, but we're not talking about video games, we're talking about comics here. This is where Grimm enters the romantic comic book world, and he's got chaos ensuing, as he has been so far. He's transversing all these different worlds. He's trying to change everything as it is. I really can't wait for this book. It seems to be another fun romp from Grant and Dwight. And, you know, hey, you can't go wrong with those two. I keep saying that you can't go wrong with these two. So go and pick this one up and order your back issue for the last issue as well, since it should be coming. There is going to be a retailer's incentive. Last time it actually was a Ben Templesmith cover, so you know, I would check that out as well, but I do love Grant's work. I've been loving Grant's work for some time now. Okay, then I'll let you get back to Bob and John.
Yeah, we talked to Dwight McPherson about American McGee's Grimm when number 1 came out, so this is a series that, you know, for any fans of the video game, or even if you're not a fan of the video game, it's definitely worth checking out to see how Grimm pops through the different worlds there. Next up, we have got a pick from Billy Masters that totally escaped my radar, so I'm really glad that Billy brought it to our attention.
This is Bill, DBM on the forum. My last pick this month is on page 276 of previews from New Reliable Comics. It is called Jan's Atomic Heart from Simon Ray. And the description is, takes place in Frankfurt sometime in the near future. Following a brutal car wreck, Jan has been fitted with an old lunar-made body. When he discovers that similar lunar bodies are being used in terrorist attacks, he turns to his restaurant Anders for help, and what they discover is more shocking than Jan could have ever imagined. I checked out a little bit of this online. I don't exactly understand the concept, only having seen, you know, a brief part of it, but the main character, as it says here, Jan, who was in an accident, so I don't know if he was a robot or a person, but he gets a robotic body, and the body he gets is a real old model, and it just so happens that the model he gets is a model that's currently being used in terrorist attacks. As it says, this takes place in the future with robots and separatist movement, lunar separatist movement. This is 56 pages. It's $5.95. I think it has some real nice art. I'm not sure what Simon Roy's done before, but it's definitely something I'm going to be checking out. So, I'd recommend taking a look at that if you get a chance. Thanks.
So this is recommended for people who would like something like BPRD, and the art has been compared to Guy Davis and Kevin Nolan. So this is something that people who are fans of that kind of art style and that kind of storytelling, and especially, you know, sci-fi, you know, the dangers of evolving technology, anything like that, this is something that's going to be a little different than what we normally see. There's not as many sci-fi, you know, kind of hard sci-fi kind of comic books out there as other genres. You get a lot of horror comics, you get a lot of superhero comics, a lot of slice of life comics, not as many sci-fi. So if you're a sci-fi fan, think about this. And if you actually flip your previews catalog over and go to page FS-4, you'll see a little bit more of a write-up on this book. It is a staff pick from the preview staff also this month. And next we got another pick from Damien down on page 281.
Hey guys, Damien back again with my second last pick for the month, which is on page 281, which is Wasteland Book 4, the Dog Tribe graphic novel. I've been picking up Wasteland ever since I was told about it about issue 5, I think it was, and I couldn't find any back issues, so I decided to go the trade route with it. It is set in a post-apocalyptic world, sort of like a sci-fi western, where you had what they call the Big Wet has came through and destroyed civilization as we know it today. Basically, you've got camps going around. There are basic cities around there. You've got these mutated sort of people out living out in the deserts, and everyone's concerned about another Big Wet coming. So if you haven't picked this one up before, I really would recommend going back and getting the trades. And they're not too dear either. It's 104 pages at $11.95. It is by Anthony Johnson and Christopher Milton. And this is a great little book. It's a black and white book coming out from Oni Press. And, you know, it was just a big surprise to me. It sort of seemed to be everything that I was looking for in sort of like a sci-fi post-apocalyptic adventure. And it's good that they're actually bringing out these trades again, since I've been loving it so much. Okay, I'll let you get back to Bob and John, and I'll be back with my last pick soon.
I will offer up a bit of Australian to English translation there. When Damien says they're not too dear, he means they are not very expensive.
Good to know.
And moving out of that onto the very next page, we have on page 282 the Side B anthology, and that is the Music Lovers comic anthology. This is a sequel to the Side A anthology that came out a while back, but this one has got over 200 pages of stories by quite a few different writers and artists. And what it really is how music affects people's life. It's not direct translations of songs like in the comic book Tattoo graphic novel that came out from Image. It's not like Phonogram, where music is, it's kind of a fantasy or different fiction story that has music woven into it. Those are both very valid musical type of comics. This one is kind of more of a slice of life thing of reflections of people and how music affects their life. And it's billed as, you know, for anyone who is an audiophile or comic nerd or anyone who loves music and wants to see how people look at this and how music affects their life. We have an interview on the Friday episode coming up with Rachel Dukes, who is the editor of this anthology and also has a story in it, Lucy Nicely, who has a story in there, and she also did the beautiful cover that you can see here on page 282, and also Jason Fisher, who did the art on one of the stories in here. We have a 50% off discount through DCBS on this book, and you'll be able to pick this up for a very reasonable $12.64. Actually, we have a 45% discount. Sorry. You can pick this up for a $12.64 price, but for 232 pages, that is actually a pretty good price.
Okay, next up, right below that, on the same page of 282, we've got two items from Radical. You've heard us talk about Radical and say great things, and, well, we're about to do it again. They've got the trade paperbacks for Caliber and Hercules. We've got both of those at a 45% discount. They're 152 full-color pages, and they're $14.95 each before discount. And we've reviewed the first issue of both of these on the Weekly Comics Spotlight a while back. And on the Friday episode, we've got an interview with Sam Sarkar, the writer of Caliber, First Canon of Justice. And we talk about the series, both kind of the premise of it, and he gives us some insight as to future plans he's got for the property. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about this stuff. You know, I strongly recommend both of these. These are good prices, just at the $14.95, add in the 45% discount through DCBS, and really it's hard to go wrong. These have some just amazing kind of painted art, some really solid stories, and it's good stuff.
And it was a really good interview. I mean, we were having the conversation, but it was a really good interview, I thought, with Sam. And if you have not read Caliber and are thinking about maybe reading it, tune in on Friday and listen to that interview with Sam. If you did read Caliber, tune in and listen to that interview, just because you'll give you some additional insight into the story, and also we talk about some of the upcoming plans that Sam has for the future of Caliber also. Moving away from that, onto page 284, we have another really good deal here, and this is the Nexus As It Happened, Book 1 trade paperback, and this is sort of Steve Rude's take at doing kind of a Marvel Essential or a DC Showcase version of the early Nexus stuff. This is starting at the very beginning of the Nexus saga. He's going to do low-priced black and white edition reprinting the initial stuff. We've got 216 pages here that reprints the original Capital magazine size book that was issue number 1 through 3, and then volume 2, which was 1 through 4 of the comic book size Capital series. So 7 issues of Nexus Comics with beautiful Steve Rude art. It's only $9.99, and with the DCBS discount, this is $5.49. $5.49, you cannot go wrong. You absolutely can't go wrong. If you've never read Nexus, and you're a fan of great comics art, great sci-fi type of comics, definitely check this out. Page 284 of the previews catalog, Steve Rude's Nexus.
And next up is Damien's final clip. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, Damien from Cryptographic, back for my last pick of the month, coming from Sirius Entertainment on page 286. It's Death Threats, the Life and Times of a Comic Book Rockstar by Drew Hayes. Now, Drew died last year, and this is actually a collection of all of his death threats, letter columns, and his starting notes and everything that he actually wrote for, that went through his Poison Elves comic book. And if you haven't read that, I really recommend going and getting it. I recently, well, probably about 6 months ago, finished my actual collection of Poison Elves, and it was a great feeling getting all those issues, especially when they released the last issue, so issue number 80, which was half finished just after he died. Now, it's actually notes and everything spanning 15 years of his career, actually doing the same comic book, and it's going into from his music taste to his love life to his views on the actual comic industry at the time, which is really good insight, just looking at what's actually happened there and what his thoughts were and what's gone on from there. So it'll be really interesting for that, and I really recommend picking up this book. It's actually 248 pages for $14.95, so it is a big book for the price, and anything by Drew Hayes I would pick up. He was such an influential writer. You know, you'd have some issues that would just be pure text, along the lines of what Grant Morrison did with that issue of Batman, but they were so insightful, and you could actually get hooked into what was actually being said there. And it just wrapped me in every time going through the world of Poison Elves. I really recommend this, especially if you're a Poison Elves fan. That's why I'm picking it up. I'm pretty sure that Bob's going to be looking at this one himself. And really, if you haven't picked up any Poison Elves, what are you waiting for? Go and get it. It's a great series. I've got, of the Sirius run, I've got every issue. I've got the trades of the Mulehide run, and really, I can't recommend this book anymore, and since there's going to be no more, really, go out, get this book, see what was going through his mind, see his whole opinion of everything that was happening in the state of the comics industry at the time, and it's just a great read. Okay then, I'll talk to you all next month, and I'll let you get back to Bob and John. See you later.
And I will second this also. Drew Hayes on Poison Elves died way before his time, but he did these starting notes in the issues of Poison Elves, and these are all collected in this book along with, you know, clip art and, you know, contextual information. And just, I want to read some of the quotes they have here on page 287, and I'll just give you some of the, you know, thoughts from Drew. And even if you never read Poison Elves, just getting the thoughts of an indie creator. So here's one of the clip notes. It says, "This is a hazardous career choice, believe me. Quitting as Anthrax to an independent publisher." And he is, you know, and you could take that comment and look at it as, if you're an independent comics creator and you're not putting stuff out on a regular basis, it really prevents you from building momentum. And he just has these, you know, essays, kind of like Dave Sim used to put in Cerebus. So if you were a fan of that kind of thing, and just like the thought process of a creator, I'm going to read one more. And he says in this one, "A creator, I suppose I am one, can ramble off all the BS they want about doing it all for the fans or doing it for the integrity of comics literature. But when it comes down to it, creators are two things, predatory and selfish. I am no different. I walk my talk. You can hate me, it won't stop me. If anything I ever said has offended anyone, most likely I meant it towards them and it's their problem, not mine." He's a real straight-talking guy, and these columns that he did are just a tremendous insight into what this guy was as an event, as an individual, and you know, just kind of like sarcasm and wit and just, you know, what he was going through. So this is something that even if you are not interested in the Poison Elves comic, just interested in, you know, comics creators and this kind of stuff in general, it's worth a look at something like this.
Now, typically Damian has the last clip for these episodes, but this time somebody actually got further into the back of the book, and let's listen to that.
Hey guys, this is Leroy Rivera, otherwise known as Ziggo from the Comic Tube Podcast. Anyway, on page 423, they finally have something that I know lots of fans have been waiting for since DVDs were created, and that is the X-Men Marvel Comic Book Collection DVDs Volumes 1 and 2. They collect the first 33 episodes across two volumes scheduled to ship in May 2009. Now, personally, this is the X-Men that I grew up with, and I know a lot of people grew up with as well. To me, the 1990s X-Men cartoons are a classic and must-have for fans all over. If you haven't checked it out, you have to, but I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you have. And you know what, this is just great news for me, and I'm just going to cross my fingers that they follow up with a 1990s Spider-Man DVD collection. And that's my pick from this month's previews. Take care, guys. Bye.
It's kind of a confusing name for these items, because they're billed as Marvel Comic Book Collection DVDs, but they seem to have the animated series on them.
Yeah, they call it the comic series, but it's really a couple of kind of a series within a series, minis of the X-Men animated series, what it looks like, which was a decent animated series.
That was some good stuff. And I think that wraps up the items we're going to talk about. this month. There, of course, is plenty of other stuff in previews and the Marvel previews, a lot of which is definitely worth checking out and reading. But we're just trying to limit it to the highlights. And for me this month, I wound up with, again, due to budget cuts, only 44 items with $149.75 at retail, $100.27 after discount and shipping through DCBS for an effective discount of 33%. How about you, Bob?
I am getting 131 items, which was $1,442 retail, $946 after discount, 34.4% discount. Now, that being said, I did do a rollover from last month. I took that Green Lantern Power Ring set from DC Direct that was an ungodly amount of money that I had decided I wanted to get. Something like $170 or something after discount. And I canceled that, and I rolled that money over onto this list to allow me to get the Doc Savage statue that is solicited in the Dark Horse section of the catalog, which is a roughly similar price. So I just kind of shifted the, you know, $170 that I was spent, that I was planning to spend last month. I canceled that off and moved it to this list. So it's a little less than it seems, but still ridiculous.
I wasn't going to say that. Just noticing about the 10-to-1 difference between what we're spending these days. But that's the difference between unemployed and employed.
So, that's right.
Hey, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Almost had something, but fell through at the last point, so I keep hoping that the next time we do one of these episodes that the budget restrictions will be long since gone. I will have ordered a bunch of stuff that I've not ordered for the last couple of months and have a lot more to talk about and a lot more I can spend, but we'll see. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that'll do it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.